Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. We thank and praise the Lord for this day. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Well, thank God for Monday. Thank God for gracing us to see another Monday. And I do trust that you had a glorious, a victorious weekend, because Christ lived big in us today. We can have glorious and victorious days while we're on this earth. You know, I thank and praise the Lord. I send a shout out to Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong. I pray God will continue to strengthen them. God will continue to renew their strength, that God will continue to give them wisdom in each and every situation. And I thank God that the blood of Jesus covered them. The blood of Jesus will provide and keep them. We just thank and praise the Lord. This is Apostle Miller. I do thank and praise the Lord for this day and every day that God allow us to come over the air to be able to speak to each and everyone that tuned into this broadcast. I thank and praise the Lord for technology, because God done made it possible that we can speak to more than one person. We can speak to number of people through the airways. And I just thank God for allowing us to be able to pay some of the old saying you said, this is a small part in your life, because God is real. And, you know, the more I walk with the Lord, I'm finding out that God, just like the scripture said, how God predestined some things to take place before we came on the earth, God done made every provision for mankind. Yes, every provision, everything according. And I'm telling you, this is good to know, because the Bible tells us in 2 Peter, I believe it's the first chapter. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, the Bible tells us, according to God's divine power, he have given unto us everything pertaining unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. But, you know, you have to get in the word and seek out the word. You have to be a student of the word of God. Even though the Bible tells us in John 10:10, the thief come but to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I found out that just is not going to automatically happen in your life. I want you to hear me. I don't know about you, but for many years in my walk with the Lord, I struggled with a lot of things, because I had the mentality that things were just going to automatically happen. I didn't know what God's responsibility was towards me and mine towards God. But as I become a student of his word and I begin to study the word of God, I found out it was certain things that I had to do in order to see the manifestation. Yes, and I think a lot of people struggle with that. Because they don't know their responsibility to God's word, you know. We've been in 1 Corinthians. We started off in Romans, the first chapter, how God done revealed to all of us his knowledge of what he want us to do. That's in the new covenant. The Bible tell you he'll put his laws in us. And won't nobody have to teach people what's right and what's wrong. And that let me know, even if you are a sinner, you know what's right and wrong. Because when you get ready to do it, whether you're speaking or in your action, it's like a knowing that you can hear a voice that don't do this or don't do that. Or sometimes you have a yucky feeling. But my point is this. God is such a good God. You know, I'm glad he ain't God to me no more, but he's my Father. And Jesus made it possible that you and I can have a personal relationship with God. Jesus didn't come to give us a religion, but Jesus came to give us a relationship, to restore a relationship with us and our Creator. And that is so important. That's something worth your while of getting into the word and study. Now, if you're a sinner, you don't have a relationship with God. According to, if you go in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, you will find out. If you haven't been born again, you do not have a relationship with God. He is God to you. God always wanted a relationship with mankind. And you know, I'm telling you, when you really come to be a student of God's word and you start really seeking the face of God's word, seeking God's face through the word, the Bible is so good. I like what Apostle Paul, you know, and it's good to read Apostle Paul's epistles. I like the one where, well, I like all of them, but in Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, Apostle Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to pray certain prayers. And I've been praying them prayers for a number of years of my life, ever since I came in contact with them through the late Kenneth Hagin. And I just thank and praise the Lord. As I stated, we've been talking about love. We've been talking about how the love of God constrained us. And according to the Bible, as time draw nigh for Jesus to come, the weaker going to get weaker. They're going to get worse. We can see it now all over the world, and it's sad. It's in the body of Christ in some areas. How it's so much of hatred, it's bitterness, it's so much of division in Christ, so much of separation, you know. And, you know, like I said, you know, the more I walk with the Lord, I'm coming into more knowledge and understanding and revelation of why he said certain things. Jesus said, he told them disciples, he said, by ye loving ye one another, the world will know that you my disciples. And we as born again believers, you know, some people are crying out and talking about what's going on in the world and how that people so weak and so much of hatred and bitterness. Well, according to the Bible, the sinners is not going to get any better. They're going to get worse. But according to God's word, we as born again believers, we're supposed to be getting better. We're supposed to be getting stronger. We're supposed to get more knowledge and more understanding and revelation of God's word. That is the plan for God's people. And that's why I said, you know, the more I walk with the Lord, the more knowledge and understanding that I'm getting. I tell people all the time, I don't want nobody to think that I dot every I and cross every T. I don't. You know, when you read the epistles, they giving you, they as the Holy Spirit leading them, they giving you their knowledge and understanding based upon their relationship with the Father. And I think it's an awesome thing that God choose humanity to have a personal relationship with him. I done shared my testimony many times over the broadcast. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. I'm just going to tell you the truth. That's why I got saved, and I was on marijuana and drinking and smoking and all. And I wanted to get delivered. I had found myself, I choose as an act of my will to start doing, you know, marijuana, drinking a little bit, doing all that stuff. But when I got fed up with it and I wanted to quit, I didn't have no willpower to do it. I didn't. And I began to cry out to God, and God saved me through the redemption work of Christ. I found out how to get saved. I had been a church girl ever since I was a child. Because my father and my mother made sure that we was in church every Sunday. My dad would transport us from Stoneburg, from Liberty Hill to Heath Spring to get with one of our aunt, and we would go to service with her. I was in Sunday school. I was in all of that. But I didn't have a relationship with God. Tell you the truth, I didn't even know that you needed to have one. It just certain things I just didn't know. And I can't recall that they even taught that to a certain degree, because a lot of them that was in the church at that time that I went to, they were saying I was too young to get saved, and I was reading the Bible, and they was telling me I was too young to understand. But they was only giving me what they know. But my point is this: when you develop a personal relationship with the Father, it changed. It'll transform your whole life. In Romans, the 12th chapter, it tells us that we are to present our body as a living sacrifice before God, that we are not supposed to be conformed to this world, but we're supposed to renew our mind. And the mind is part of your soul. The soul is consists of your mind, will, and your emotions. And it's my responsibility, it's your responsibility to get in that word and renew your mind. God is not going to do that for you. I found out as a prophet of God, a lot of times people want me to give them a formula for success. They want a formula for success, prosperity, healing, all of that. But I found out a lot of times people just don't want to develop a relationship with God because of lack of knowledge and understanding. They don't realize if you develop a personal relationship with God, it's a total package. You ain't got to just focus on, well, you know, I want success and I want prosperity, but, you know, I don't want the rest of it. But it's a total package. You know, it always amazed me, especially when I came into the knowledge and understanding that as the Creator, He created all mankind, regardless of the color of your skin, regardless to your ethnic group. He created all of us, and that's something for a long time. But I thank God for coming into knowledge and understanding that I know now that He did create all race of people. He did do that. But the thing that I had to learn, because God gave us a will, that's the thing that kind of got to me. When I came into the knowledge and the understanding, the revelation that God created all of us with a will, you know, believe it or not, if you do some study, you'll find out God have a will, Satan have a will, the angels have a will, demons have a will, and all human. The strongest thing about humanity is our soul. And that's where your will is resident at. Your will is in your soul, your mind, will, and emotion. And because God gave us a will, God would not violate it or override our will. Even though God created Satan, but guess what? When Satan, it's in Isaiah, the 24th chapter, Isaiah 14, if you go to that, you will find out that Satan had a will. And it was when Satan chose, as an act of his will, to rebel against God, guess what? God allowed him to do so. You hear me? God allowed him to do so. And I'm telling you, it's Isaiah 14. I misquoted. It's Isaiah 14. That's when the enemy began to talk about what he would do. Started at that 11th verse, you read on down. But anyway, God gave him a will. And it was an act of Satan's will that he chose to rebel against God. He said, I will be above you. I lift myself up and all that stuff. It goes to I will this, I will this. But my point is this, and because he had a will, God did not make him change his mind, because Satan already knew what he was doing was wrong. He'd taken Isaiah, they call him Lucifer in Isaiah. But there too again, and he calls, one-third of the angels in heaven, as an act of their will, they came in agreement with Satan to rebel against God. But my point is this here. When you understand as being, even though God is sovereign, but he gave us a will, and it's an act of your will, you can choose. No one it tell us in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, he said, I set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. You choose. But he said, choose life that you and your seed may live. So there too, again, my point is this. God made you with a will. See, the enemy wants you to believe if God wants you to live right, God going to make you. No, he's not. If God wants you to live right, God going to make you. When God get ready for you to get saved, he going to make you. That is not true. That is not true. That is a lie from the pits of hell. And the enemy used that to cause people to procrastinate, to hesitate to come to God, because the enemy wants you to believe God You waiting on God. But I found out as a born-again believer, when it come down to the will of God, God waiting on me. Because like I said, your will is so powerful, but I'm still going somewhere with this. And as we stated, like I said, we've been talking about love, and Jesus made a bold statement. He told them disciples, by you loving ye one another, the world will know that you my disciples. Now, as I stated in the beginning, the world going to get worse. Let me go on and pray now, because I get started and I go on. Father, here's in the message, name of Jesus. Again, we said thank you. Thank you for this Monday. Thank you, God, for this day. Father, I thank you right now for those that would tune in to the broadcast. I thank you for bringing enlightenment and understanding. I thank you for bringing knowledge and understanding and revelation. I thank you that the Holy Spirit is released over the airway to bring clarity and understanding and transform people's life. I thank you that the power of the Holy Spirit is available to transform, to heal, to set free. I thank you, Father, right now that the blood of Jesus cover each and every one that have tuned in. I thank you for my tongue being a pen-ready word. I thank you for it right now. I thank you for accuracy will be released through my words. I thank you that I decrease, that you may increase in me. And we thank you for God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But amen. So there too, again, as I said, you have your part to play. Like I see, it's a lot of confusion, even in the body of Christ. And let me tell you, if you don't do what Romans the 12th chapter say, if you don't make it up in your mind to renew your soul, we're a three-point being, spirit, soul, and body. As I stated, your will reside in your soul. As part of your soul. We did not get a new soul, but we got a new spirit. And you and I is responsible for getting in God's word and renewing our mind. And you do that on a daily basis. You will be doing that until Jesus come or either you leave the earth. But that is so important. I used to be kind of confused. I didn't understand how people get saved and then they act like they're not saved. I found out a lot of time, a lot of people get saved instead of them falling in love with the word of God, a student of God's word, they just keep going. You know, once everything died down, it's the old folks used to say, when the dust settled. You know, when I got saved, I was just so excited. I mean, it was just so much a bundle of joy. But I started reading the word, but I began to watch as adversity and tribulation and persecution start coming. I start observing my action. A couple months ago, I had one of my spiritual daughters on the air with me, and she was sharing because she said once she got saved, she did not try to develop a relationship with God through his word. She did not know, and she didn't understand without a relationship with him and without renewing her mind, ain't no way she could experience the victory that Jesus won. So what are you saying with all the prophet? I'm saying the Bible tell us what God requires from us. But a lot of time people miss out. Like I said in 2 Peter, the first chapter, it talk about through God's divine nature, through his divine promise, he done gave us everything pertaining to life and godliness. But there too again, you and I is responsible to get in God's word. Like I said, you see a lot of bitterness and hatred and division and all that on the earth. But believe it or not, the enemy done found a way through ignorance, lack of knowledge, for this to be happening in the body of Christ. Where you see divorce, you see racism, you see division, you see separation, and it's in the body of Christ. And this morning, as we were meditating on as I continue to meditate on the study about love. Love is so powerful. Paul said that love never fails. It don't take me by surprise that Apostle Paul was the one that God revelated to him about the love of God. You know, Paul tells us that he was a chief sinner. And I think it's in 1 Timothy, the first chapter. If you read it in this attack, you will see how Paul was a chief sinner. But you see how God loved it, Paul. Paul experienced the love of God. He truly did. And then after he received the love of God, he was able to not only express it and demonstrate it, but to preach it to other people, to share with people. And that's why as a born-again believer, we are without excuse. As born-again believer, we should not be walking around here with bitterness and resentment and jealousy and all of that in our heart. We supposed to, the Bible tells us that we are the light of the world, and that and by we expressing love to one another and demonstrating to the world, they would know that there's something different about us. That is a witness that we are children of God. But it began with our relationship with God, then with our family. Come on, everybody gonna speak well of you. I learned that. I don't expect that no more. But I found out when it come down to born again believer how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. Now, I'm gonna start out with something this morning, and like I said all this because like I said, we've been in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. They call it the love chapter, and it talk about what God love is. It tell you what love is, and it tell you what love is not. And this epistle is to born-again believers. Majority of the epistles that you read, that Apostle Paul, James, and Peter knows, it was to born-again believers. It was telling us how we supposed to conduct our life in a fallen world. First off, you need to know the world is not going to get no better. I had to learn that God didn't call me to save everybody. I'm not assigned to everybody. I'm only assigned to a remnant of people. And my prayer always, God calls me to cross their path or they cross my path. God catapults me to the people that I'm assigned to, you know. But I'm telling you, whatever God have said for you, my brother, my sister, and even if a sinner is tuning into this broadcast, I want you to know God can remove all of that bitterness and hatred out of your heart. God can do that. But he made a way for your escape by you receiving his son, Jesus. Jesus' assignment was to save and restore man back to God. And Jesus fulfilled that assignment. Jesus made it possible. The meanest of the meanest. I don't care what you done did in life. You can be like Apostle Paul. You could be the chief of sinners. But guess what? God made a way for your escape. If you was to believe that Jesus is his son and that he came and he died for you, and if you receive him as your savior, I need a savior. Forgive me. I receive you, Jesus, my Lord and Savior. It started with that. And receive the Holy Spirit to instruct and teach you. Guess what? You can escape damnation. You can escape eternal hell. Eternal damnation. But it's an act of your will. God is not going to make you live right. Let's really get that established. When I came into the knowledge, it's an act of my will. It really changed my life because for a long time, I would wait on God to do it. And then the scripture in James, the 4th chapter, tell me if I draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to me. You see, you got a lot of saints, they trying to resist the devil, but they haven't as yet committed and devoted their life to God. He says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. But as I stated, I want to talk a little bit about covenant because covenant play a major part. Covenant, I want you to hear me. Covenant play a major part in our ability to operate on this earth in a fallen world, in a world where so much of bitterness, hatred, resentment, and jealousy and evil going on, it play a major part. And I want to talk just a little bit about that. I got some notes. God wants his people to stop looking at each other through the flesh. And so many times we identify one another by the color of their skin. I want you to hear what I'm saying. Because if you go back in Genesis, start in Genesis the 15th chapter, when God began to establish a covenant with Abraham. Well, now that's up in the old covenant. You want to know more about it, you go in Galatians the 3rd chapter. And we're going to go there probably. Might not be today. But I want to show you how the Bible tells us that the love of God be shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Well, guess what? You have unconditional love If you've been born again, when you got born again in the Spirit of God, you have unconditional love. I don't know why, and I used to do this because of lack of knowledge, ignorance and lack of knowledge. I used to thought that the world could do like I do or people wouldn't say. Sinners, they love conditional. I want you to hear me. Sinners love conditional. According to 1 Corinthians in the first and the second chapter, you will find out the natural man cannot receive the things of God. The Bible tells us that. The natural man cannot receive, nor do he know the things of God, or better yet, the things what God has prepared for them that love him. Everything God do, he reveal it to our spirit. But if you haven't been born again, if you are a sinner, your spirit is cut off from God. Yeah, people can witness to you, but a relationship and all that you don't have that with them. And that's why it's so important to be born again. And, you know, like I said, a lot of times I haven't met nobody so much, you know, and maybe I'm sure it might be some people out there that they got born again because they got saved because they love God. That was not me. I got saved because I did not want to go to hell and I wanted to be delivered. That's why I got saved. But in the process of getting saved and begin to become a student of God's word, I learned so much about him. You know, people can talk about God, but it's a different thing to have a personal relationship with him. But as I stated in my note, God wants his people to stop looking at each other through the flesh. And so much, if you look at people through the flesh, you're going to start seeing the difference. All of us is different. The color of our skin, our personality. God don't connect us based upon the color of our skin, but God connect us through covenant. The Bible say God told Abraham how his seed would be. He said one night he told him, go out and look at the star. That would be your seed, Abram. But if he had to change that for Abram to Abraham. Abraham and God came in a covenant. You understand what I'm saying? And covenant is so important. If a lot of married couples, I wish I would have known it, would have the knowledge and the understanding about covenant. Marriage is a covenant. Marriage ain't just between a male and a female, but it's between God, the male, and the female. It's three peoples in that covenant. But a lot of people don't have any knowledge. They have not been taught about covenant. And when you don't have that knowledge and understanding about that marriage is a covenant, you're going to go according to what you think marriage or what somebody done told you. But I tell you, if you really want to know what marriage is all about, go to the one that ordained marriage. And God ordained marriage. And marriage was ordained to death do you part. And, you know, some people use the cliche where, you know, if God meant for them to be together, they would have stayed together. That's not true. It's just like, is God will for everybody to be saved, but everybody's not saved. Why? An act of their will. They choose not to. It's not one marriage that having problem that God cannot sustain that marriage. But guess what? You have your part to play. Please hear me. As an act of your will, and I'm telling you, you need to know your will is so strong. That's the strongest thing about humanity, our will. And like I said in the beginning, how Satan, as an act of his will, he chooses to rebel against God, and he calls other angels because they have a will. Now, if they didn't have a will, God could have made all of them stop, halt, don't do it. He could have did it without it, but he made them with a will. God have a will. And God made us because we made in his image and his likeness. We have wills too. And hear me. Stop blaming other people for the choices you make in life. It was an act of your will. You choose to do it. But even in the act of our wills, the mistakes we done made in life because of the love of God. And Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. If you will to come to the Lord and humble yourself and say, Lord, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. Save me, God. I need you. God would do just that. But he ain't going to make you. We need to get that settled. I wish I would have known that. I always thought when God get ready, you going to do this. He going to make God don't make you do nothing. And so many people done stumble over that statement right there. When God get ready for me to live right here, make God will make my husband love me. God will make my wife. No, he don't. God going to make my children do right. No, he's not. what God will do, he will cause information, knowledge to come to them. Whether they on the, wherever they may be, he will cause somebody or cause them to speak a word to them. And after they will, they would choose to receive what being said. They would choose to be a doer of what being said. They would choose after they will to meditate on what's being said. His day choice. If they choose not to, guess what? God is not going to bother them. But make a long story short, as I stated in my notes, is that God wants his people to stop looking at each other through the flesh. In the eyes of God, there are only two races. Listen, now when you view people from the natural, what other people say, you're going to say, oh, he's black, he's white, he's light-skinned, he's Mexican, Latino, all this stuff. But when you view people from the eyes of God, that's only two races of people, believers and unbelievers. Now, I'm talking about viewing it from God's perspective. That's the way God views. God don't view it like we view it. And if you go in Galatians, I don't know if I'm going to get that today or not, but if you go in Galatians, it takes, Paul says, there's nor male, nor female, nor Jew, nor Greek. We all one in Christ Jesus, and that's through covenant. That's why, read up on covenant. Ask God to give you some knowledge and understanding, revelation about covenant. You know, I'm telling you, if people come into the knowledge and understanding about what God say about covenant, what God say about race, you'll find out what in the world. How the devil got us walking around here, resenting and rejecting one another because of the color of their skin? God didn't reject Apostle Paul, and he intentionally went around killing the saints. He said, I was the chief of sinners. But he was in ignorance. He didn't know any better. He thought he was doing God a service. He didn't know any better. But when he had that experience with God, that encounter with God on demand, he changed his whole life. How God had the scales removed from his eye. The man got so revelation. He even spent time with Jesus in the spirit. That's where he got his knowledge and understanding. And I'm telling you, listen. You can read this word and don't have understanding, revelation about it. And that's why it is so important. But I'm still to my covenant. In the eyes of God, there are only two races, believers and unbelievers. You are either one or the other. But it, like I said, this is based upon what God say. This ain't based upon what your mom and them and all the rest of them say. Because I learned, and please hear me. I have ancestors, and I can recall as a child. You know, some of the things they said to me, but it was based upon what they knew at that time. They shared it with me. But as I grew up, and like I said, once I got saved and got in the Word of God, everything began to change. And I thank God for what I know, and I'm still growing. A covenant, now listen, this is what I want you to hear. A covenant is a pledge, a vow, a promise, a commitment between two or more parties to carry the term they have agreed upon. Listen at me good. And I'm telling you, God have connect, listen at me, God have connect all mankind through covenant. Yes, covenant. Like I said, you need to know this. 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 God have connected him and man through covenant. Come on, somebody. Now, it started in Genesis. If you go, I'm just going to read a little bit, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. I'm going to give you some bits and pieces, maybe the basic thing, and you can go and seek it out for yourself. Now, in Romans, the fourth chapter, when we first see about it, in Romans, the fourth chapter, the 18th verse, it says, who Abraham hoped, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Listen, nationality. All over, father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Okay? Then you drop down, you also read in that fourth chapter, the 19th verse, it says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, not dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded, he what he had promised he was able to perform. Now, Abraham didn't start off with a strong faith. I want you to hear me. Because if you go to Genesis, the 15th chapter, and read in this, Abraham did not start off with a strong faith. Abraham didn't start off being fully persuaded what God promised, that God would do it. And all of us have a beginning with God. Everybody's relationship is different. God deal with you based upon where you are and where you are going, based upon what he predestined for you. And that's why you can't compare to a certain degree your preparation with mine, and I can't compare. I used to do that. I didn't know any better. The Holy Spirit had to show me better. Okay, so there too, again, like I said, we need to know, we need to realize, like I said, that his name, he didn't start out with Abraham. He started out with Abram. And Abram was, like I said, Abram was involved in idolate. He worshiped idols. He worshiped the moon and all of that. And so he was a stranger to God. God was a stranger to Abraham, to Abe. But Abraham didn't really know God. That's why in the beginning, when God spoke to him about it, Abraham began to stagger. Come on, somebody. Okay, see, that's I want you to know that, because you, if you ain't careful, you read this and you think, oh, Abraham, when he started out with God, he had a beginning like all the rest of us. When God first came in my life, I was excited about being saved, but I had a lot of doubt. I had a lot of unbelief about God, because I hear so many things about God, plus what I made up my mind for God to be. And because of that, I was offended with God about some things. Why you didn't do this and why you didn't do it. I can't. My mother and father divorced when I was real young, and I was without a father in the home. And I was mad at God. Why you didn't make my mom and daddy stay together? And it's a lot of people like that, but that's ignorance. It's because you don't know him. You don't have a personal relationship. You don't even have knowledge and understanding about God. You based upon what somebody done told you, you know. But anyway, like I said, now if you go to Genesis, the 15th chapter, there too, again, like I said, I'm going with bits and pieces. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abe. And a vision saying, fear not, Abe, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abe said, Lord God, what would thou give me, seeing I go child? Now there too, again, Abraham had some doubt about God. What you going to give me? You see, he didn't know God like that. He didn't have a knowledge. He hadn't developed a relationship with him. He didn't know about him. And it's so many people, because you haven't developed and have a personal relationship with God. You really, what you do, you embrace and doubt and unbelief. You know, the Bible tells us, therefore, there's no condemnation to them that walk after the Spirit, not the flesh. It's a lot of saints operate in guilt. Your past. You couldn't believe some of the things you did. I mean, I'm talking about born again beliefs. I'm not talking about sinners. You haven't as yet forgave yourself, or where you were thinking too highly of yourself. I can't believe I did that. Well, believe it, you did it, and get over it. Now, and please, when I say get over it, I'm not trying to sound rude, you know. But God can help you to forgive and go on with your future. You know, and I like some that God gave Apostle in one of his epistles. Apostle Paul said, one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. And if anybody had a lot of stuff that they need to let go of, it had to be God, divine power, God's grace to help Apostle Paul to forget about all the terrible things, the many people he killed. It had to, and it take God, divine power, to help you to do that. But you have to, I forgive myself for what I did. Because if you don't forgive yourself, it's hard for you to forgive others. And we got a lot of people in the body of Christ, they got a lot of bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness in their heart, because you haven't as yet forgave the people that mistreat you, and you ain't forgave yourself. And what the enemy does, he constantly hitting that replay button. He constantly bringing back to you what you did and when you did and who you did it to. Listen, okay, admit, yes, I did it. But, Lord, forgive me. And I forgive them people who did it to me. So you can shut that door so the next time, Satan, bring that to your memory or bring it to your mind. You can say, look, I asked God to forgive me. I forgave them by faith, and I forgave myself. Now I'm going on. Because, y'all, listen, everything we get from God is faith. But I want to show you when God appeared, how God started this thing with Abraham. Then he went on, and Abe said, behold, to me, thou have given no seed, and one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall thou be. But I want to show you how in the beginning Abraham was, according to Romans, the 4th chapter, the 19th, Abraham wasn't fully persuaded in the beginning. But God came in covenant. And when God came in covenant with Abraham, I want you to know it opened the door for you and I. That's why the Bible says in Galatians, we are Abraham's seed. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want you to see. But like I said, take some time. You know, you got a computer, you got a phone, you can look up covenant and begin to study covenant because it's so important, okay? He said, and he brought him forth aboard and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said, and so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, it counted for him righteousness. Abraham was obedient. And y'all, that's something else. That's another teaching. The obedience is linked to you and I being able to experience the blessings, the things that God promised us. You know, some people ain't fully persuaded yet that I'm supposed to walk in obedience to God. That's, yes, you do. How is it? Ain't this amazing? You go on a job, they tell you what to do, what required that job, and as an act of your will, you line up with it. And because an act of your will, and you line up with the law, or better yet, the rules and regulation on that job, you are able to receive a check. If it's 40 days or how many days or how many hours you have to do before the check, you get the check. But as an act of your will, you choose to line up with it, and you do what they say. Well, it's the same way when it comes down to the things of God. The enemy wants people to believe, and I believed it for a long time, that any way I can live any way I want to, and God's going to bless me anyhow. God's still going to do it. That is not true. That's why you got so many saints departing from the faith. They done backslid. A lot of them because they have some knowledge, but they didn't have some understanding. They didn't get the revelation. They allowed the enemy to get in their soul. That's why you have to keep your mind renewed. Please hear me. Get in the word. Make some time. Find some time to get in there and renew it. But I want you to see that in that 15th chapter. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby should I know that I should inherit? Now listen, see, Abraham inquiring of God in Genesis 15, he inquiring of God about all of this because Abraham did not know God. That's why I said when you go read in Romans the 4th chapter about how he was strong in faith, at first he was weak in faith. Well, let me kind of tell you, a person that weak in faith, I'm going to tell you something, and please don't get offended, but I'm just telling you the truth. A person that weak in faith, is that person, they always consider their circumstances in a situation. That's what weak faith is. You always consider your circumstances and your situation more than what God say. I like some Isaiah said, who will believe our report? As an act of your will. You have to choose to believe what God has written in his word about you and I, you and him. I'm still talking about love because some people, you know, like I said, they view it, they view people according to the flesh. You got to stop that, you know. You got to stop that. I thank God for February was the month that Black History. It's okay to know the history of people. You know, but if you trying to find something to put yourself above the white and put them down, y'all, that's not God. That's not God. Because I believe in all of our, even in my family tree, I know some of my family, they hated white people. I know that to the highest. But they had some experience with them. And they did not have the knowledge and understanding that I have today. Let me tell you something. Spirits don't have respect of race, respect people. They don't care female or female. Spirits, evil force is there to get us, and that's what have did for so long on this earth with a fallen world. Satan is there, and demon is there. The whisper evil, jealousy, offenses, anger, hatred in all of us if we allow it. That's what Paul said. You got to cast down every imagination, every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Once you get saved, you got some work to do. Now, I ain't talking about, now listen, saving faith is no work. But after you get saved, it's things you and I have to do to maintain what Jesus undid. First, we come into the knowledge about his redemption for us. Then after that, we have to learn how to maintain it, to walk in it and experience the victory that he paid for. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit have to show it to us. But there too, again, as I stated, when Abraham first started out, Abraham did not just easily believe what God say. And like I said, if you read that whole, 15th chapter, you will see that, because I want you to know God and Abraham came in covenant. I'm telling you, God and Abraham came in covenant. I'm telling you, they came in covenant. Read that whole 15th chapter. And in that whole 15th chapter, it talk about a blood covenant. It tell you what they did, how it was done. But there too, again, like I said, a lot of people, because of ignorance of covenant, they don't understand covenant. I found out this with leaders, and I've been down that road. I didn't have a knowledge or understanding about what it means to be in covenant with another leader. Well, I tell you, I didn't have no knowledge to know what it means to be in covenant in marriage. I didn't know marriage was a covenant. I just started with two people falling in love with each other, and in the beginning, they decide they're going to love each other till they leave, and didn't know the enemy going to contest. Listen, anything of God, if whatever is written, the enemy going to contest the word of God. That just it. That's something else. If you ever get a knowledge and an understanding, a revelation of that, you'll really know how to do warfare. You know what? The enemy going to always contest the will, the word of God. You ain't got to believe it. It going to happen. He'll be doing it, and you don't even realize he's doing it because you're ignorant of Satan and his device. Apostle Paul said on one occasion, he said, God don't want you to be ignorant of Satan's device, and he would talk about unforgiveness. A lot of people don't realize how powerful your will, how powerful unforgiveness is, how powerful disobedience is. Because if you got a knowledge and an understanding and the revelation of it clear, you'll fall out with it. You'll resist unforgiveness, offenses, disobedience. You'll resist it just like fire. I haven't this yet. Met anyone that'll stand or walk into a blazing fire without any kind of protection. I ain't saw it yet. I don't believe I will. We would call that person really, he done lost some of his mom, but something ain't right with him upstairs, right? Well, it's the same way in the spirit realm. But see, when your spirit eyes come open and the reality and the understanding about what God said, when it come real to you, it changed your whole perspective about life. Okay, but as I stated, if you read the whole chapter, the 15th chapter, it talk about how God established a covenant between him and Abraham. I ain't spend a lot of time on that. I'm going somewhere. Okay, but now when it come to, like I said, when it come down to covenant, I want to read some more about it in my notes. It says covenant is a pledge, a vow, a promise, a commitment between two or more parties to carry the terms they have agreed upon. See, when people come in covenant, they sit down and they discuss their weakness and their strength to one another. It's just like with a husband and wife relationship. And some of them don't do it because they don't know it. Some of them don't know it to do it. You need to discuss in the beginning why I want to get married, what I'm expecting to receive from you as an individual, what we're going to do together, how we accommodate one another. you know. But a lot of people don't do that. I'm in love, and I know we're going to always be together. And after they get married, a lot of time they don't continue to do the things that brought them together, the things that they was attracted to, that helped strengthen the relationship. They start parting from one another. They start spending that time with one another. They allow themselves to be attracted to other things, other people, not knowing that's the enemy coming in to detract you. See, the enemy know it ain't. When God said it's not good for a man to be alone, the enemy know God meant that. See, a lot of saints is still trying to, well, you ain't got no business figuring out. Well, we do that. I've been down that road, but I find out what I don't understand. Roll that care on the Lord and go on by my business and trust him with it. But he'll get couples. You start trying to, they don't do this and they don't do that, not knowing that for that person weak, you supposed to be strong in. That's the way it works with a covenant. And that's why I say a covenant, you know, the covenant is established in blood, can only be broke by death. A covenant is a serious contract. It's a serious agreement. And like I said, I'm talking about the blood covenant that God made between God and Abraham. And like I said, you can read it in Genesis, the 15th chapter. Like I said, the first thing they did in the blood covenant is to recognize the need for a covenant. And God saw fit that it was a need. Now, just like with the old covenant and the new covenant, them two different covenants, God promised certain things. Go back and read it. This will do you good. You know, sometimes people say, well, excuse me, Prophet Miller, I don't care nothing about the old covenant. I don't need to know. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You'd be surprised what it would do for your relationship with God. It'll help you to know and understand better. And you'll find out God's responsibility to man and your responsibility to God. What does got to do with love? It got everything to do with it. Because you'll find out you can love unconditionally as a born-again believer. And I say it all the time, God forgive us. I put us in it. Forgive us as the body of Christ. We have not expressed love from the house to the White House. We ain't demonstrated from our house to the White House like we supposed to. That's why you got a lot of sinners when it comes down to the saints. They are so confused. They see saints set up in the church and make faces at one another, make remarks behind their back. Children hear parents that consider to be saved people talk about the pastor in their presence, maybe ride from church to get into the church. Are they letting themselves be, see, they self disagree with something the leader said, and they saying all kinds. Somebody came in my presence a couple of weeks ago, and they were saying that they was in their church, the pastor made a certain decision. And when this certain woman heard about it, after the pastor openly confessed it over the pulpit, and said this member began to curse. So they were saying some danger things. You know, they profaned it right in the church. But you know what? No fear. A revelation fear of the Lord is not where it used to be. I might do a teaching on that later on. I don't know, but I'm telling you. The first and the greatest commandment is loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And this individual said, this person said, so this older person, been saved for a long time. I said, right there, you have somebody to question your salvation because it shouldn't be said of a born-again believer. You going around here, it's the old saints that cursing like Popeye the Sailor Man. That shouldn't be a part of you. The Bible tells us, We've been delivered from the power, the authority of Satan into the kingdom of God. But anyway, let me go on. But like I said, I'm talking about a blood covenant. First, you need to recognize the need for a covenant. And a covenant was designed for difference and for weakness. And there, too, again, God saw the need that Abraham and him needed a covenant. And that's why God cut covenant, because of Abraham's weakness. I want you to hear me. It was because of Abraham's weakness. Abraham needed help. And y'all listen, God never intended for you and I to do life without a relationship with him. And too many people, even after they get born again, because of lack of knowledge, they're trying to do life without God. I learned, even after I got born again, I had to learn how much I needed help. But then I know I needed God's help, but I didn't know how to receive his help. And it was red in my face. Other words, in Matthew 4, Jesus talked about, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word proceeded out the mouth of God. You know, the answer be red in our face. I have, you know, I've been guilty. And I have heard people there pray, God, what I need to do. And God, in God's word, you ever done pray and ask God, God, what I need to do? And still your daily studying, if you study, and you'll see the answer. Well, it tell you what to do. But then you ask after your will, you choose not to do it. And then you'll go away with an attitude, well, God, I prayed and you didn't do this. See, you got there too again. God will reveal to you and I what to do. Grace, God's ability is there to help us to do it. But as an act of your will, you and I have to choose to obey and do what his word tell us to do. It ain't going to automatically happen, please. Just that right there. But there too again, as I stated, after you a covenant is to help you with you find out what's the need. And like I said, in Genesis, the 15th chapter, the covenant was made. And like I said, a covenant carried the terms they had to agree upon. They had to agree what was what. And God told Abraham what I wanted from you or what you must do. And Abraham, as an act of his will, he chose to do it. That's why I said through his obedience, we count him as righteousness. And I'm telling you, you have to obey. You have to do what the word tell you to do. And the Holy Spirit is there to enable you and I with the ability to do it. And like I said, this covenant is established in blood and can only be broken by death. This is a serious contract, a serious agreement. We are talking here about a blood covenant between God and Abraham. Like I said, the first thing they did in a blood covenant ceremony is to recognize the need for a covenant. And covenant is two people coming in the group. And I need help. I've been saved numbers of years, and I still need God help. Anybody say they don't need God help, so they missing it. I need his help more now than I ever needed it. And I thank God I'm understanding better. I'm learning more and more. And I tell you, the world ain't going to get no better. The world cannot love unconditionally. The world of people that don't have a relationship, people that's not saved, they cannot love unconditionally. They can only love conditional. I want you to hear me. Hear me good. They cannot. I'm saying this and I'm closing. Like I said, again, we need to see our covenant designed for difference and for weakness. The problem is people, and I'm telling you, people in our society are taught to be afraid of the difference and weakness in other people. When we see somebody who are raised in a different culture background from our instinct is to fear that person. I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to take up down third because I want you to understand that God saw need, that man need to be in covenant with him because God is a covenant God. Covenant, everything Bible around covenant. A lot of people don't realize that when it comes down to thinking about who God is. God is a covenant God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you again for this day. Truly, this is the day that you have made. I thank you for your knowledge, your understanding, your revelation, and I thank you for those that tune in. I thank you how the Holy Spirit have transformed their life, have brought understanding and enlightenment to them pertaining to their personal life. Now, Father, I just commit these people in your care. I commit them to you, and I thank you, Holy Spirit, for continuing to bring enlightenment and understanding to them. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you have any discomfort in your body, I rebuke it and I bind it. I command healing to be released to your body right now. I bind up confusion and misunderstanding in Jesus' name. Again, this was Apostle Willie Ann Miller. And listen, tune in on Thursday. Don't miss Thursday at 6 o'clock. We're going to continue with this to help you to understand more. I pray and trust you enjoy the rest of your day.